The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Vaeskanan. In Parshas Vaeskanan is this Parsha of the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod. In the Parsha, there's a posuk that states, this is in Vaeskanan Vov, posuk Zayin, Veshinantum Levonecho, V'dibarta Bom, that you shall teach your children, and you shall speak to them. You shall speak to them these words, V'shivtecho V'secho, when you sit in your house, V'lechtecho V'aderech, when you go on your way, V'shochtecho V'kumecho, and when you lay down and when you get up. From here we have a source that one is obligated to teach his son's Torah. This mitzvah, that one is obligated to teach his son's Torah, this has a source in the Braisa, in Masechta Kedushin. The Braisa states, and Daf Chof Tes, Tana Rabbonin, a rabbi's taught, of Chayev Bivnei, that the father has certain responsibilities towards the son, and it lists off six responsibilities. Lamele, first he's obligated to circumcise his son, Belif Deisei. If the son is a firstborn, he's obligated to redeem him, Pidgin Aben, Ulalam de Terah, he's obligated to teach him Torah. Ulasi Ishai, he's obligated to find a wife for him and marry him off, Ulalam de Umnais, he's also obligated to teach him a trade or a profession, a means of a livelihood. Yeshaimrim, and some say Afla Shita Bemayim, he's also obligated to teach him how to swim. These are the obligations a father has towards a son. So one of these obligations stated here, Lalam de Tera, to teach him Torah. But the Gemara on Choftes Omed Beis, that goes into this mitzvah, does not actually bring the source that we have just brought, but brings a different posuk. And that's in Parashas Ekev, in next week's Sedra. Near the end of the Sedra, Dvorim Yud Aleph, Posuk Yutes. There we have the second parsha of the Krishna. You know, in the Krishna that we say every morning and every evening, there are three parshas, there are three chapters. In the second chapter, it states, V'limadetem Eisom es b'neichem ledaber bom, that you shall teach these things to your sons, and that they shall speak in these words. So from here the Gemara brings a source that one is obligated, min ha-Torah, to teach his young children Torah, to teach his sons Torah. The Gemara then asks, where is the source that one is obligated to study Torah himself, that he must teach himself Torah? So it brings another posuk, which also happens to be in our parsha. In the beginning of our parsha, in Perek Hey, Posuk Aleph, states, Vayikra Meshe El Kol Yisrael Vayim Alehem. Meshe called together the people, and he said to them, Shema Yisrael Sachukim Vesam Mishpotim Asher Anechi Dever Boznechem Hayim. Did Yisrael listen to the statutes and to the laws which I am telling you in your ears today? Ulemarte Mesom, and you shall learn them, Ushmartem Laseisom, and you shall guard them. So from here we have a source, the Gemara says, Ulemarte Mesom, that one is obligated to study Torah. So actually we have three psukim. This posuk here that states, Ulemarte Mesom, we are obligated to study Torah. This is a posuk which obligates men to study Torah. Then we have another posuk in Parshas Ekev that states, it doesn't say ulamaritem, which means that you shall study, but rather it says bili maritem, that you shall teach, v'limadetem esom, that you shall teach them to your sons, v'dibaltabom. From there we learn that you must teach your sons. And then we have a third posuk in our parsha, v'shinantum levonecho, that you shall teach your sons, v'dibaltabom, that they shall speak in these words. These are the sources for this mitzvah. Incidentally, the Gemara qualifies and states that this obligation to teach Torah to one's sons is an obligation on a father. It's not an obligation on a mother, an obligation on the father. Only on one who's obligated to study himself is he obligated by the Torah to teach Torah. If you're not obligated to study, you're not obligated to teach. This doesn't mean that a mother cannot teach. The Gemara says that if she teaches, she has great reward for this. But the incumbence of the obligation is upon the father. This mitzvah, it's important to realize that this is different than the mitzvah of teaching one son, for example, to sit in a sukkah, or teaching one son to put on tzitzis. The mitzvah of lulav esrig, or the mitzvah of davening, to bring a son into shul, or to teach him brochas. There's a basic difference between what we're learning here this evening and the other types of teaching one son. Why? Because when it comes to teach a son mitzvahs, and this is called chinuch mitzvahs, to educate a son in mitzvahs, this is not required min ha-Torah. This is not a commandment which is upon us from the Torah. Because a child is not obligated to do mitzvahs. Whether it's a positive commandment of lulav, shefer, sukkah, broches, tefillah, tzitzis, yarmulke, whatever it might be, a son is not obligated in those mitzvahs since he's a katan, since he's a minor. And the Torah does not obligate a minor any mitzvah. And the same applies when it comes to a negative commandment, to teach a son that he should uphold the negative commandments. For example, he should keep Shabbos. Or, for example, that he should macholos asures, he should eat only kosher foods. This also is not a mitzvah min ha-Torah. This is a mitzvah midrabonim. The rabbis commanded us that even though a son who's under 13, incidentally, and this applies both to sons and daughters, even though a son who's under 13 and a daughter who's under 12 is not obligated to keep mitzvahs, whether it's a positive commandment or a negative commandment, nevertheless, the father should be mechanech, a son and a daughter, in mitzvahs when they're capable of having some understanding and insight in these mitzvahs. And the reason for this, the rabbis tell us, the commentaries tell us, in order that when they become bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, and then they become obligated on all the mitzvahs according to the Torah, it shouldn't fall upon them, Pesach Pisim. It shouldn't fall upon them. The 613 mitzvahs should not come upon them overnight. It would be almost an impossibility for them then to fulfill it. Therefore, we margil them. We bring them into the habit and the routine. We accustom them to start and to fulfill mitzvahs, each mitzvah at its appropriate age. So when they become bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, they're already rogel, they're already very accustomed and used to keeping the mitzvahs. And then the transition period will be a smooth one. Now that's called chinuch. And that applies to a son or a daughter. To a daughter in the mitzvahs which she will become obligated by the Torah when she is bas mitzvah. But that is not a mitzvah min ha-Torah. That is a mitzvah min ha-chachomim. The sages commanded us in that mitzvah. Now there's one exception to this, and that's what we're speaking about this evening. When you teach your son Torah, not teach him how to do a mitzvah, but you teach him Torah, you learn with him Torah, that's a commandment min ha-Torah. as we've learned from these posuk, you shall teach your son, or you shall teach your sons. That's a mitzvah min haTorah. So one should realize that when a parent or a teacher is teaching a child how to do a mitzvah, or he's learning with him a posuk chumash, there's a great difference. Because when he learns with him, when he teaches him how to do a mitzvah, it's very important, very important. But he's fulfilling a mitzvah min hachachomim, min rabbonim. But when he teaches his son a posuk in chumash, that is a mitzvah min haTorah. This is one of the rare instances when the Torah commanded us to have the child do something while he is still a minor. This is the mitzvah that we learn from our parsha this evening. Let's go into this mitzvah a little more. It's a very, very great mitzvah, as we'll see, and it's very relevant. This has to do with education. Our sages were great educators, as we will see. And let's see what we can learn from this. As we can understand, this mitzvah is a very great mitzvah. And this is something that we don't need proof on, although we have much proof. Because if the Gemara tells us, Godel HaTalmud, Le'elam HaTalmud Koidim, Shemebi Lidei Maisim, that when it comes to study of Torah, this also always should be given priority. Because through the study of Torah, it will bring one to deeds. Le'am Oris Chosid Ein Buri Reichet, the ignorant cannot be righteous, the empty cannot fear Hashem. Our whole belief, our whole Yiddishkeit is different than all other religions of the world, as we've mentioned many times, because all other religions in the world, they're based on practice. If a person would want to become a Buddhist or a Christian, or join some other type of religion, they won't tell him to go study for many, many years. If he'll keep the rules, he'll be a good member of that religion or that organization. Not so with Yiddishkeit, not so with Klal Yisrael. That the sages tell us and bring many, many proofs to this, that the person's closeness to the Almighty and the person's ability to serve the Almighty is integrally linked with his knowledge of Torah. And therefore, le'olam ha-talmud kodem, Talmud must always receive priority, because only through this will one come to deeds. And therefore, we can see from here the very greatness of instilling Talmud, of instilling learning in a child. Because this is the haskola, this is the beginning of all of his learning. So if Talmud always receives priority, then we can imagine what priority one should give the teaching of children. We have many such examples that the sages give us, which we'll quote more of them at the end of the shiur this evening. But let us just bring from the Gemara and Kiddushin that we're quoting now. The Gemara brings in a case on Daf Lamed Rebchia Bar Abba Eshkeche Rebbi Shua Ben Levi. Rebchia Bar Abba met Rebbi Shua Ben Levi. Rebbi Shua was a big sage, a great sage. The Shodi Disna Reisha V'Komamti Leili Yenuka Lebekinishto. That he was not properly wrapped, he was not properly robed. Early one morning, he was taking his child to the Beit Knishta, to the shul where the cheder was, and he himself only had on a little scarf over his head, and he didn't have on his proper garment, which we see that he left the house so hurriedly that he didn't even give himself time to properly attire himself. So when he saw this, when the Rebbi Bar Abba saw this, Omalei, my kuli hai. What's the big rush?
that you've gone out of the house in this manner, especially for such a great sage. Omalei mizuter maidiksi veidatem levanecha vesomech leyema asher amadeta lifnei Hashem elokecha becheriv. See, he quoted him a posuk. And that posuk is also in our parsha, in Voskanan. In the parsha it states, in Perek Dalet, Posuk Tes and Posuk Yud, Moshe told the people, Raki Shomelecho Ushmonafshecho Mi'ed. Guard yourselves very carefully. Pentishka Chesadvorim Asheroh Einecho, lest you forget what you have seen on Har Sinai, Upen Yosuru Milvovcho Kol Yomechayecho, and lest you forget from your hearts everything that you have learned all the days of your life. And you shall make these things known to your sons and your grandsons. So here again the Torah tells us that you shall teach your children. And then the next pasuk states, the day that you stood at Cherev, at Har Sinai, to receive the Torah. So the Gemara darshins that when one teaches his son Torah, malalov akosuv, the Torah considers it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it, as if he's standing at Har Sinai and receiving Torah. Since it states, Ve'idatem levanecho levanei vanecho, that you shall teach your sons and your grandsons, and immediately afterwards states, Yem asher amadet lifnei Hashem elokecho b'chorev, the day when you stood by Har Sinai to receive the Torah. So we learn from here that when one teaches Torah to his young child, that's the same as if he was standing at Har Sinai to receive the Torah. Perhaps the comparison is because he's in the place of Moshe Rabbeinu now. Because Moshe stood at Har Sinai and taught Torah to people. And now he is teaching this Torah to his children. So he said, when he asked him, why didn't you give yourself time to properly attire yourself? He said, Mizuta my deksiv, such a mitzvah, and evidently he was late. School was starting, and this is as if you're receiving Torah on Har Sinai, therefore he rushed right out to bring his children, to bring his son to the cheder. Mikan ve'elech Rebchia ba'aba leiteim umtza ademikre liyenukai umesfe. After Rebchia heard that, it was his custom every morning that he would take some meat and briar over some coals in the fire, and this is what he would eat in the morning before he would start his day, before he would start his work and his learning. This is what he would eat. From that time on, Reb Chiya never would taste. He would never taste umtza. He would never taste any meat until first he taught his child. He reviewed with him what his child had learned yesterday, and he learned a new posik with him. Rabba Babahuna leitaim umtza demaisim nukele be midrosho. And the Gemara brings the same on Rabbi Barafuna, that he also would never eat anything in the morning. He wouldn't have his umtza. He wouldn't have what he usually would have, the meat that was roasted on the coals, until first he would bring his son to the Beis HaMedrash to learn. So this gives us a little inkling to the greatness of this mitzvah, which we will go into a little more at the end of the shiur. This mitzvah of teaching one's son, how old should he be when one is obligated to teach him? How old should he be? Gemara brings in Masechet Sukkah on Daf Mem Gimel, Mishiyaskel Hatinaik Ledaber, once the Tinaik starts to speak, then Oviv Melamdoi, the father should teach him, Torah Tziva Lonu Meisha, that Moshe commanded us Torah, and the Posuk of Shema Yisrael. Torah Tziva Lonu Meisha, Meisha commanded us the Torah, and the Posuk of Shema Yisrael. Rashi brings, this is what the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah states. Rashi brings on that posuk in Eker, Limaritem Esom es Benechem. Rashi brings a similar drosha from the Sifri, but which elaborates a little more. Mishosha ben yodeh ledaber, once the son starts to speak, lamdeu teiru tzivalona meisha, we must teach him the Torah meisha has commanded us. Shiazel lomu dibure, in order that this is how his speech should be trained. Mikan omru, from here the sages have said, kishatinek maskel ledaber ovi misiach imay beloshen hakedush, once a child starts to talk, a father should converse with him in Loshon HaKodesh in Hebrew, umelamdoi, and he should teach him Torah. Vimle also kein, and if he doesn't do this, hare hu ki'ilu kevre, it's as if he cholilo is burying him. Shenema v'lemaritem esom es b'neichem ledaber bom. We learn this out because it states that you shall teach him to speak in these things. So we learn from here, when should you teach him? When he can speak in these things. Once he can start to speak, then it's a mitzvah, ledaber bom v'limaritem, to teach him Torah. So therefore, ovi mesiach imay beloshen hakodesh, the father starts to converse with him in Hebrew, and he teaches him Torah, tziva lono meisha, and shema Yisrael. And there's a depth in this. Because since it states, v'dibaltum bom, and the Gemara also darshans, the Gemara also expounds, she ikud dibure bom, that the main speech of a person should be b'divrei Torah. This means that the beginning of a speech should be b'divrei Torah. The first words, the first type of speech that a child should have, should be divrei Torah. And should be Loshon HaKodesh. This is what we learn from the Pasuk. You shall teach your sons with the Baal Tobom. You shall teach them to speak in these things. So his first speech, if that is B'divrei Torah and with Loshon HaKodesh, so this will be a racious, this will be a beginning for everything that will follow. And therefore Rashi says that his Dibur will be Lomud. His Dibur, his speech king, will be trained in Divrei Torah. But if not, then it'll be cholilo, it'll be kilu kevra. He will not have this opportunity. So this is when one must start to teach his son. We can see from here that it's not only a matter of bringing knowledge to a young person, but it's a matter that his first knowledge should be Torah. That Torah should be imprinted in his heart and in his mind and on his soul right from when he can begin to speak. Actually, there's a Mishnah. The Mishnah Masechta Ovos tells us this. States in Perek Daled, Mishnah Chof Aleph, Elisha ben Avuya Omer, Halemid Yeled Lumahu Deima, if you teach us a young boy, what is this like? Lidyoi Ksuva Al Nir Chodosh. This is like taking ink and writing on a new piece of paper. Halemid Zokein Lumahu Deima. But if you teach an old person, Lumahu Deima, what is this like? Lidyoi Ksuva Al Nir Mochik. mochuk. It's like writing on a piece of paper, which is an old piece of paper, and things were already written on it, and it was already erased. That when you teach a son, when he's very young, and he hasn't learned other things yet, so the mind is totally fresh, the heart is totally fresh. So Torah becomes a second nature to him. And then all of the Torah that follows will come easily. But if you teach someone who's already had all kind of other things in his mind, he's already filled his mind and heart with who knows what and with who knows how much rubbish, and then you try to teach Torah to him. So this is Kinir Mohuk. This is like writing on an old piece of paper and an erased piece of paper. And this is what the Gemara many times speaks of. Girsa D'Yankasi. Girsa D'Yankasi, what one learned in his youth. The Gemara says that you cannot compare what one learns at an older age than to what one learned in his youth. This is the Gemara in Perek Bame Marlikin. The Gemara brings on Chof Aleph Amud Beis and Sekhta Shabbos. Gemara is discussing the mitzvah of Chanukah. What kind of candles, what kind of wicks are you allowed to use for Chanukah? And if the Chanukah candle goes out, are you obligated to relight it? The Gemara is going through a whole discussion. So Rabbi Yirmiyah said halacha. He said, Rabbi Yirmiyah said halacha in the name of Rav. He said that if the candle goes out, you're not obligated to relight it, because the mitzvah is lighting it, not that it should stay lit. And also v'osel ishtamish le'ayra, you're not allowed to benefit from the light of the Hanukkah candles. Shabbos candles you can benefit from. You can use that light, but not Hanukkah candles. Amru rabbonin kamei de'abaya mishmei de'Rabbi Yirmiyah. So they said over this halacha, and they said it over in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Lake Kibla. He wouldn't accept it. He didn't agree with it, he wouldn't accept it. Ki osa rabbin amru rabbonin kamei de'abaya. Later, years later, someone else came to Bovel, and he said it to Abaya, Mishmei de Rabbi Yechanan. And instead of saying it over in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, he had come from Eretz Yisrael, and there he heard the same halach in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. And Rabbi Yechanan was the Mori de Asra of Eretz Yisrael. He was the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. So he said it over in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Then when Abaya heard it under such authority, Kiblo, he accepted it. And then he said on himself, Yizakoy gemrisa lishmaitze meikora. He said that if I would have had a schus, he said, I didn't have a schus. I didn't merit it. If I would have had a schus, then I would have accepted this halacha years ago when it was told to me in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah. So his Talmidim asked him, what do you mean if you had a schus? What's the difference? Or Gomra? But in the meantime, now you've accepted it and you know of it. So what's the difference? He says, there is a difference. Nafke mino legirsa d'yankaso. The difference is because had I accepted it before, then I was much younger. So I would have understood this halacha, I would have learned it in my young age. Now I'm learning it in my old age. Something that you learn younger gives to the younger see. That's a different quality. That makes a different imprint on the heart and the soul. And this is what he said he missed out. So that's when one should start teaching a child. Then the Gemara tells us, actually the Mishnah tells us in Masechta Avos, in Perikei Mishnah Chof Aleph, Ben Chomesh L'Mikra. When a son is 5 years old, you should start teaching a Mikra. That's the Chumash in the Tanakh. Then the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, Amalei Rav le Rav Shmuel bar Shilas. Rav Shmuel bar Shilas was a malamed. He was a teacher of children. So Rav, who's the Rav, was a great sage of the city. He would give him instruction on how to teach policies. So he told him, "Ad shis." No, excuse me. First, the Gemara says, "Umachnisi neisoi ki ben sheish u ki ben sheva." When he's 6 or 7 years old, then you send him to a school. You send him to a cheder. And then Rav said to Shmuel bar Shilas, "Ad shis leisekabel." Until he's 6 years old, do not accept him in the school. Mikan ve'elech kabel. Once he's that age, 6 or 7, then accept them, va'aspele ketura, and then you must teach them Torah like you stuff an ox. So the Gemara tells us that you shouldn't accept him in a school until he's 6 or 7. Why 6 or 7? So the Rishonim explained, Tosfos and other Rishonim. If he's a very strong young lad, then when he's 6 years old. If he's not so strong, the kochush, then you must wait till he's 7. Now here a question arises. It states that he shouldn't be accepted in school until he's 6 or 7, but the Mishnah says, ben chomesh lemikra. The Mishnah says that at 5 years old you could teach him chomesh. So some Rishonim learn Tosfos here that this is speaking about an unusually strong lad. An average, strong, healthy boy is ready for school at 6. If he's a little on the weak side, he should wait till 7. If he's exceptionally strong, then you can send him at 5. That's how Tosfos learns with other Rishonim. The Maral Miprag in his Pirush HaMasechta Ovos, he learns differently. He learns this, that it states that at 5 years old you must teach him Chumash. This means at home. Just like it states that soon as he starts to speak, you must teach him. It says, Misha Yischel Hatinaik Vedaber. Once he starts to speak, Oviv Melandoi, his father teaches him, Psukim. So from the time when he starts to speak, you teach him Psukim, little by little, until he's 5 years old. At 5 years old, that's the time for the father to sit down with him and to teach him Chumash regularly. But not to send him to school until he's 6 or 7 years old. And this is also how it's clear in the Rambam. The Rambam brings in Perek Aleph of Talmud Torah Halacha Vov Me'im Osai Oviv Chayv L'lam Deitere. When is a father obligated to teach him? Once he starts to speak, you teach him Torah Tziva Lono Meisha Ushma Yisrael. The first pasuk you teach, as we mentioned, is the first thing he must know is that the Torah Moshe commanded us from Hashem. That's the first thing he must know. Then Shema Yisrael. Then Achakach Malamdoi Me'at Me'at Psukim Psukim. And then you teach him little by little Psukim, sentences of the Torah. Achia Ben Sheish O Ben Sheva, until he's 6 or 7, all in accordance with his strength. Then Me'lichoi Eitzol Malamdei Atinekes. Then you take him and you send him Eitzol Malamdei Atinekes to the teacher. And also the Rambam brings in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, Machnisin es atinekes l'islamit ki ben sheish ki ben sheva l'pikeach haben u'binyin gufay. That you accept children in the cheder from 6 or 7 years old in accordance to their strength, according to their health. U'pochas mi ben sheish ein machnisin esay. Less than 6 years old, you must not bring them, accept them in school. Incidentally, in Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam brings that when a child is 3, that's the time to start speaking with him in Divrei Torah. So the Gaon, Vilna Gaon, on that, he says, "I don't understand what he means by that. because from the Gemara it's muchach that since he starts to speak, that's when you must teach him Divrei Torah. So what does 3 years old have to do with it? So at any rate, so we have that the ages are that once he starts to talk, then his first talking, his first conversation should be Beloshen HaKodesh and in Torah. And then little by little you keep teaching him more psukim until he's 5 years old. Then you teach him Chumash. And at 6 or 7, according to his health and his strength, you send him to a school, to a cheder. This is important to know, because there are many, many people who like to send a child to school at a very young age. And this is not the opinions of the Chazal. Now, we're not speaking about a play school, see, or a nursery school. If a child is going there to play, it's something else. Because, but we're speaking where he will be disciplined to learn. Because the Baral writes, he says, what's the difference to teach him Chumash at home or to send him to school? So he says, the difference is because the Gemara says, like we'll come to in a minute, the Gemara says that once you send him to the Cheder, he's 6 or 7 years old, Sofer Leketura. You must teach him Torah like you stuff an ox. So the Rishonim explain, what does it mean like you stuff an ox? When you're stuffing an ox, whether he wants to eat or he doesn't want to eat, so you stuff him. When he's 6 or 7, this is how you must teach him Torah. In other words, you must be disciplined to learn Torah. Now we'll go into that in a minute, a little more. So he says, the Maral says, therefore, when he's at home and his father is teaching him, he's not under the discipline of a classroom. He's not under the discipline of a Rebbe. He's not under the discipline where he must learn even if he doesn't want to learn. The father teaches him. He doesn't want to learn, so he runs outside and plays. And therefore, he's not ready for this discipline until he's 6 or 7 years old. Chumash he's ready for at 5. But for this discipline, Sofer Leketurah, he's not ready till 6 or 7. Therefore, Rav told the Malamed in his city, Ein Dekablin. Ein Dekablin, I say, you must not accept them at less than that age. So we're not speaking about sending them off someplace to play. That's a different discussion. This is not relevant to us here. But to send them in a disciplined situation where there's the classroom discipline, where he has to learn, this, according to the Chazal, he is not ready until 6 or 7 years old. And a lot of problems. People in education will tell you there are a lot of problems. Because many, many children, they'll find, are slow starters. And many times they become messed up because the class must go on. Unfortunately, we find many parents who they want from their son something that they didn't have. And they didn't have the opportunity to become such a great gaon in Torah, so they want their sons to become such great gaonim. So at 2 or 3 years old, they're already Sofer Leketurah. They're already stuffing them with Torah. And this is not right. I remember once that I heard that they had asked, there were many schools that there was a style where 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old already, they were already stuffing them. And I remember they asked the late Rav Hutner Zecher Tzadik Livracha, how old should a child be when they send him to school? So he says, what are you asking me, something that's explicit in the Gemara and the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch? What kind of shailas are you asking me? He says, it says 6 or 7 years old. So this is something important to bear in mind. The fact is that the Baral writes in another place, in the Siv HaTorah, in several places, that he was very unhappy with the system of studying Torah in his time, which I can't say in our time is any better. Probably a lot worse. But he was very unhappy. Because young boys they were taking, and they were learning Gemara with them. And when they were a little older, they were learning Gemara with Tosfos with them. And he says, why aren't they listening to Chazal? When the sages said, Ben Chumash Lemikra, that at 5 years old, a young boy is ready to learn Chumash. And at 10 years old, he's ready to learn Mishnah. And Gemara doesn't come till later. And even when they start learning Gemara, he said they could learn up many, many Masechtas of Gemara and Rashi before going into Tosfos and the other Rishonim. And he writes there something very important. He says, firstly, he says, that's why we find such ignorance in our generation. Because they're not adhering to what the Chazal tell us. And secondly, he says, that's why, he's talking in his generation, he says, that's why we don't find Yiras Shemayim. He says, the fear of heaven in our generation. Because the Torah says, fear of heaven comes to whoever has Teira Beficho, whoever has Torah in his mouth. And then he writes an underlying reason why. He says, because, he says, people are not interested in Yiras Hashem. They're not interested in the fear of Hashem. Shehakol Reitzin B'Shem. He says, they're only interested in reputation. They all want their son to become a famous scholar. He says, if they would be interested in Yiras Shamayim, he said, then they would listen to what the sages say. But they're all interested in him becoming famous. And how do you become famous? By knowing Shas and Tosfos. So they start with Shas and Tosfos. And he says, little do they know where that will lead. So therefore, this we must keep these principles in mind. That's in regards to the age. Another thing that's very important, and that is Shmiras HaGuf. We see that the Chazal were very concerned on guarding the child's health. The Gemara brings here in the Gemara brings in Baba Basra, which we quoted from. And the Rambam brings for example, that when you take a small child and you send him to a cheder, and let's say he graduates that cheder, and now it's time for him to go to another one, so you can send him to the next one. But b'medvorim amurim kishoy shneim birachas. But that's only if they're both in the same city. But to send them to another city, let's say that there's a better cheder, a more advanced cheder in another city, then you cannot send them. Because a young child, they were very concerned about sending him away from the city. He must learn in the city where he is. And even in the same city, and you want to send him from one part of the town to the other, because this cheder that he's learning at now, he can still learn there, but he can get more at the other one. Even then, that would be permissible, that's only if lo hayo anor mafsik bedehem. That's only if there was no river between them. But nor mafsik bedehem, but if there was a river dividing them, ein melichin esakon. Then you don't send a child from one cheder to another where he has to cross the river, unless there was a very, very strong structure of a bridge. He brings Rabbi Nechananu. Could you give me that Baba Basra, please? Nechananu brings in the Gemara and Baba Basra and Chof Aleph, if there's a river that divides the city, so therefore you shouldn't send him from one cheder to another, because then the child will become accustomed to cross the river on his own, and there's a possibility he'll fall in. So therefore, unless there's a very strong bridge, you're not allowed to send. The same thing now the Gemara says, what happens if there's a gesher osui mineser tsar, if there's a bridge between the river, but it's made out of a thin plank? And then there's a rope banister that's tied from one post to the other on each side of the river. So as people go across this plank, they hang on to the two ropes. He says, but children, if you're going to start taking them across this bridge, you'll be accustomed to crossing the bridge, and they might try one day to cross themselves, and therefore it'll be a danger. So therefore, even if the cheder where he's learning now answers, you should send him to the better one, okay, not allowed to, because we must take into consideration the safety of the children. And as we saw, the same thing with the age. The Vilna Gaon, in the letter that he wrote to his family when he was planning on going on Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, he wrote there that they should always be careful with the children to buy the best and most healthiest food for them. They should never hold back, even though they were very poor, they should not hold back on money when it comes for healthy food for the children, in order that they should grow strong and healthy. And the Gaon was writing a few things to his family which he had held to be of the utmost importance. So this is a second thing that we must always take in mind, that when we're teaching young children, we must have a broad vision from all aspects to the safety and the health of the children. Because like the Chazal tell us and the Rambam brings, first of all, the Gemara says sakanto, sakono, when it's danger, chamira miyisura, we have to be more careful of danger than prohibitions of the Torah. But secondly, that if a child does not grow healthy, then it's impossible for him to be a true servant of Hashem. Because one can serve Hashem only when he's in perfect or the best possible health and fit. So that's another aspect. Another important aspect is the mahus alimud. How should you teach the children? What should be the attitude when we teach them? This also the sages spend some very valuable time telling us about. The Gemara said when they're less than 6 or 7, don't accept them. Once they're 6 or 7, then accept them, the aspe le ketura, and you must teach them Torah like you stuff an ox. So Rashi explains, and the other Rishayim, you place upon them an oil. They must have a yoke. You give them responsibility. You give them discipline. Because just like an ox does not succeed in his work without an oak and without discipline direction, so is it with a child. And not only that, but an ox will thrive on the discipline and on the yoke. So will the child. Now, does this mean then that what happens if he refuses to learn? How far should we go? So the Gemara continues, Omalei Rav L'Rav Shmuel Mashilas. Now the same Rav told his Malamed Rav Shmuel Mashilas, Ki Mochisal Yanuka. What happens if you get children and they don't behave? You have to discipline them. So you're going to hit them. He says, when you hit them, Leitimcho Ele Ba'araksa De Mesano. He says, you must hit them only with a shoelace. See. The Rambam brings an aloha. It brings here Ve'ena maka, this is in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, ena maka iso, umakin maka iso na malamed lahatel aleihem emo. The teacher can strike them in order to implant his authority upon them. They must realize his authority, and they must have their heres for him. They must have emo, respect and fear that he's the Rebbe. So he may strike them. But he's not allowed to strike him like an enemy is striking someone, or makas akzori, or he's not allowed to strike him cruelly. Therefore he must not hit him with a stick. Any types of sticks he must not use. But only a little lace, a shoelace. Now, then he said, the kori. If you discipline him and you hit him with a shoelace, if he'll read, if that will do the trick and he'll learn, good, he'll learn. What happens to the kori? What happens if he still won't learn? So he says, leave him alone. Don't strike him, but don't throw him out. Also very important. See. Remember once learning my Rebbe, he tells the Rosh Hashiva, we were learning this Gemara. And he says, it's a very important principle. A child doesn't learn, you push him. He still doesn't learn, don't push him. But don't throw him out either. He said, Lehavit safse lechavrei. Let him sit together with his chaverim. As long as he's not a disturbance, let him sit together with his chaverim. And Rashi tells us, Ein chozoku kli yasre yesemidai. You're not obligated to discipline him too much. Veleila salkel bilfanecho, but don't throw him out from before you. Ele yeshiv im acherim betzafse. He'll sit with his chaverim, v'seife lo se slave, and eventually he'll pay attention. And Rabbeinu Gershom writes, he says, Al tikoheu yeser midai shebishvil reiv hakos ein mispakeach. Don't hit him too much, because one does not become clever from being struck too much. Elim kein kori minafshe kori. If he'll read and pay attention on his own, good. If not, havitzafse lechavrei, let him sit together with his chaverim. Be'al tochush lahakesi yesem midai. And don't push him, and don't discipline him. Eventually he'll see his chaverim are learning. Eventually, lo se slave, he'll start paying attention, and he'll also learn. So we see that we must find this medium. That sofalei ketura. We must teach him like you direct an ox. In other words, you have to give him Torah. But you can only feed him as much as he can take. If you see he's hungry, you must stuff him. If he needs pushing, you must push him. But if you see even with pushing it's too much for him, he's not going to become more clever from discipline. He's not going to become a greater gone from striking him more. And not only that, you'll drive him away. And on the other hand, to throw him out, that also you must not do. So you let him sit there. He sits together with his chaverim, and he sits in the classroom, and then eventually, lo se slave, eventually he'll give heed, he will start to learn. This is very important, because the Mishnah Novel states, Ein atere nikne, ele mitech yishuv. Torah cannot be forced upon a person. Perhaps other wisdoms might be able to. Perhaps. Maybe mathematics. Maybe writing. But not Torah. Ein ha-Torah nikne ela mitech yishuv. Torah can be acquired only if a person is relaxed. Ve'ein odam leimed ela b'mokim sheli b'chofetz. And a person learns only what he wants to learn. A person learns Torah, only the Torah that he wants to learn. Now naturally, if you ask the child, what would you rather do? Would you rather study, or would you rather play soccer? See? That's not giving him a fair chance. See, you have to put him in a discipline structure. And you have to discipline him. But after the discipline, you must make him want to learn. If he doesn't want to learn, then he will not. Then you will not succeed. The Malamed will not succeed, and the Talmud will not succeed. So you must create the atmosphere and the environment and the situation where he wants to learn. We quoted many times that in the same letter that the Gaon wrote to his family, so he said that when you learn with the children, he says you must make it pleasant for them. And if they don't want to learn, he says, don't beat them up. That's not going to accomplish anything. He said, bribe them. Give them coins. Give them nice things in order that they will want to learn. Even if they want to learn for ulterior motives, that's all right. The Gemara says, "Leilam yilmod odem shelei lishmei." A person should learn even if it's not l'shem shemayim, because the power of Torah is so great that eventually, when it goes in, it'll make them learn l'shem shemayim in the name of Hashem. So the main thing is to get them to learn, but it must be in a good atmosphere where they want to learn. Now, not all places found this success. Lithuania, they found this success. We should realize that our sages were masters of education. And for a simple reason. Because we were the most educated nation on earth. You know, people come and they start telling us about education. Meanwhile, 5,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, where you had cities of totally illiterate people, the Jews were educated from head to toe. It was common. It was common even in the last century in Europe that when a document had to be signed, the Goyish peasant would come to the Jew to sign it, to help him sign it, because they were the literate ones. If you look at what the Jews wrote, what they studied in Torah, so education was their business. I remember once speaking to a person who was an expert in education. And he was asking me about the yeshiva, tells the yeshiva where I was studying in, and the system of how they were promoted, the students were promoted. And they had a scale. This was for the young students in high school, where there were four levels. And there used to be tests given three or four times a year. And at any time during those tests, the student could be promoted to the next level. And age had nothing to do with it. You had students who were 18 together with students that were 13 in the same shiur, at the same level, the same class. Age had nothing to do with it. And this was the old Lithuanian method. And when I told him this, he was just flabbergasted. Because he said that at Yale University, they were doing studies in this. And these were the new innovations that they wanted to make. And here I'm telling him a system that was 100, and a yeshiva that was 100 years old, and who knows for how many centuries where they took it from. But in Lithuania, where the crown of Torah was so great, so you could imagine what the cheder system was. But one thing that whenever you meet someone that went to a cheder, he'll always think back of the days that he was in cheder with a great nostalgia. I remember I met one man who for 40 years after coming to America, he never opened a sefer, he told me. And I started to ask him where he's from, and he was from a small city, a small village in Lithuania, and he went to cheder. And then he started to say off psukim by heart that he had learned 40 years ago. And I told him, "You still remember? I can't remember something I learned 6 months ago." And he said, "Well," he says, "we learned it over and over and over so many times." And with the same niggin, he started to sing it over to me. And then tears started to come to his eyes. And he says he remembers his Rebbe, he says, who was so sweet and so kind to him. And this was the atmosphere that was in the Litvishe Chadorim. And they used to learn the Gemara brings. But it's not a situation where they'd come there for an hour or two. It says the mitzvah is to learn with the child once he's 6 or 7 years old, the whole day and into the evening. They'll tell you stories how there used to be a special shamus, that his job was to bring the children home at night with lanterns. And why in the evening? In order to teach the child, this is what the Gemara says, the Rambam brings, in order to teach the child the mitzvah of studying Torah by day and by night. So this was, they were learning the whole day there. Unfortunately, I've met people from other parts of the world that also learned in Chadorim, and their experiences were not so good. They didn't follow the Gemara. They would say how they were beaten and how they were forced to learn and how they ran away and how they hated it and so forth and so on. Fact is, there used to be a custom in some places where on the first day that they would bring the child to cheder, so they used to wrap him up in a talis and bring him. They'd make a ceremony. And with a young child, maybe this was before cheder, but with a young child, this was probably with a younger child, when he would start to learn chumash, so they had a custom in some places where they would put honey on the chumash. So the young child would point to the chumash and then lick his hands, and he would associate his first experience with the chumash with honey. And there's a remes that has, they have a source to it, because it says it should be kidvash tachas l'sheincho, that the Torah should be like honey beneath your tongue. But the point is that the method of learning must be one more important than what the child is actually learning. It's how he's learning. Because you can fill him up like an encyclopedia. Unfortunately, many places today, we're living in the age of computers, and we want to make computers out of people and out of children. And they fill up children like encyclopedias and computers. That's not Torah. Okay. Torah has to go into the lev, into the heart, and into the nefesh and the soul. And more important than what is going into the child is how it's going in. And that's what the Gemara tells us here. Another very important principle is what the Gemara brings also here in Baba Basra, and Daf Kof Aleph. The Gemara says, "Omer Rav Yudah Marav, Baram Zocher Eso Ish Letev Yeshua Ben Gamli Shmei." There was a man by the name of Yeshua Ben Gamli, and we should always remember his name with a brocha. Why? Shilmolehu nishtachach Torah Yisrael, because if it was not for him, Torah would have been forgotten from Yisrael. Why? What happened? So the Gemara tells us, before his time, mitchilo mishiyesh la'ab melamdei Torah, someone who had a father would teach him Torah, because the mitzvah was on the father. Mishein le'ab, someone who didn't have a father, lo ha'yelamei Torah, so he wouldn't study Torah when he was little. Hiskinu. So then the Beis Din made a decree that a communal cheder, communal chadorim and yeshivas, should be set up in Yerushalayim. Because it states, Ki mitzion teitzei seira. From Zion should come out Torah. Yerushalayim should be the capital of Torah. So therefore they made a decree that it should be a communal responsibility that there will be chadorim and yeshivas in Yerushalayim. It didn't do much good, the Gemara says. Why? Because someone who had a father, so his father used to take his son to Yerushalayim, but someone who didn't have a father, he didn't go. So then they made another decree. Bechol plach hu plach. A plach is like a province. Actually, it's even more than a province. Rashi says a plach is a place that has many medinas. So it was a very wide area. So in every area, like a large province, they made a decree there must be a cheder and a yeshiva. Now, who could go away from home? You cannot send a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old away from home. So anyone who had a father taught him Torah. If he didn't have a father, so he would come to these yeshivas, Kiben Tezayin, Kiben Yudzayin, when he was 16 or 17 years old. Once he was 16 or 17 years old, the Gemara says, the minute the Rebbe would become angry with him, he closes Gemara and walk out. It's finished. because he never learned till he was 16 or 17 years old. Now all of a sudden he's starting. So the situation was awful. At Shabbo Yeshua ben Gamla, until Yeshua ben Gamla came. What did he do? He and his Beis Din made a decree. Shemeshivin malamde tinekis bechol medino bedino bechol ir v'ir. They made a halacha that every province and every state and every city and every village, it is the requirement of the community. See, they threw it on the shoulders of the community. Before, it was an individual responsibility. It's still an individual responsibility. But in addition to that, it's a requirement on the community to have a malamde tinaikas, that the community must engage Torah teachers. That anyone that wants to come to study Torah, it will be available. And now a child 6 or 7 could come, because he didn't have to go to another village, to another city, he didn't have to cross a river, he didn't have to travel. So the Gemara says, Zohar Eisoi Ish L'Tev. We should remember him always for good, because if not for him, Torah would have been forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Now this is very important. Tosfos brings here, he learns from the Gemara. It says that every 25, the Gemara says, when you have 20, one teacher is good for 25 students. If you have 25 students, up to 25 students, one teacher can handle it. If there's 50, then the community must provide salary for a second teacher. They cannot say, we'll have to do with one. See? They have to provide for two. If there's between 25 and 50, then they must provide salary for an assistant. Not another full qualified teacher, but an assistant that would assist him. Tosfos says, therefore, he says, any city that has 25 children, they fall under the edict where they must provide education. And this is an obligation on the kehillah, an obligation on the community. This means that a person cannot say, I have no children, therefore it's not my business. Or a person cannot say, I have a son, but I'm teaching him myself, or I hired a private teacher for him, so therefore it don't bother me. That's good, you want to teach him yourself, that's the best thing to do. You want to hire a private rabbi for him, that's tops. But in addition to the personal responsibility that you have to your own son, there was the takona from Yeshua ben Gamlo, that you as a member of a community are responsible to see that there is a cheder in the community available to teach Torah to any child that wants to come. And this must be funded by the community. The community has no right to say, if you pay your share, you're accepted. If not, out you go. There can be private schools in the community too. Actually, this was all private enterprise. The Gemara goes into it. I mean, this was a way that people made living. They became qualified malamdim and they opened up their own schools. That would be fine. But in addition to that, say, there must be a communal mokum Torah, a place in the community. The Rambam brings, he says, "Anis halocha meishivin malamdi tinekis b'chol medina, medina b'chol plach uplach, u'b'chol ir v'ir." That the community is obligated to see that there are teachers in every province, in every city, every village. B'chol ir she'ein bei tinekis shel beis rabban, in any city that does not have a place available for children to come to learn, machrimin es anshe ir. So the halacha was that they would put a cheirum on the city until the city would make such a school. This is from the Gemara Masechta Shabbos and Daf Kuf Yutes. And if they still would not do, then machrimin es ha'ir. Then they would go so far as to say that the city must be destroyed. Because the world stands only by the air of the mouths of the words which are being said by the children in the Hadorim, in the small yeshivas. There's much more to go into, but the hour is getting late. The Gemara tells us how that since this is such an integral part of Jewish life, how important it is to be a Malamed, and what his qualifications are. The Gemara brings cases that if the Malamed is not a good Malamed, great destruction can come from there. It brings such cases. And says this is a psidat lehoder, a teacher that does not do his job with emunah, with faith in Hashem. This is something, a psidat lehoder, this is can cause a loss which can never be rectified. On the other hand, the Gemara tells us that a malamid, someone who teaches Torah, he should know that there's almost nothing more important than he could be doing. And it says that his light is like the light of the stars of the heaven. And they bring on Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Reb Chaim Volozhiner was the greatest student of the Gaon. And he established the Volozhiner Yeshiva, which was the mother yeshivas for all the Lithuanian yeshivas that were to follow. He was the greatest Rosh Yeshiva Lithuania in his time, in the 1800s. And he used to sign his name Chaim Hamalamed. His name was Chaim. So he used to sign his name Chaim Hamalamed. So they used to ask him, why do you sign him Hamalamed? Usually someone that was teaching small children was called a Malamed. You're the greatest Rosh Yeshiva in Lithuania. So he says, I want to sign my name Malamed because I have good company. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu signs his name Malamed. Because it states, we make a bracha in the morning, Baruch Atah Hashem, Amalame Teira Lama Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu, we bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Balame Torah to call Yisrael. So why can't I sign my name Malamed? It's a great prestige. But one must realize that what he teaches Torah, and especially to children, because this is the Haskalah, this is the beginning, that all the Torah will follow. So he is standing in a place, like the Gemara brings, by Har Sinai, call him Malamed Teira. Whoever teaches Torah to Bnei or Ben Bnei is as if he was Mekabel Torah Misinai. The Gemara brings, which we'll conclude with, the Gemara brings in Shabbos Kuf Yutes Amud Beis, Omer Rabbi Yudah Marav, Mai Dixiv Al Tigu B'Mishichoi U'Binviyai Al Toreu. What does it mean, you shall not touch my anointed, Hashem says? Elu tineki shel beis rabbi. My anointed, these are the children who are studying Torah by the Rebbe. Omar eishlokish mishum Rebbe Yehuda nesiyah. Eishlokish said in the name of Rebbe Yehuda, einayla miskayim ele vishvil hevel tineki shel beis rabbi. The world stands through the breath of the children who say over the psukim of Chumash by the Rebbe, in the Cheder. Omalei Rav Popola Abaya. So Rav Popola said to Abaya, Didiva didoch mai. So then what's my Torah and what's your Torah? If the world stands by the breath of the children, so in other words, you're giving them more prestige than us. This is what Rav Popola said to Abaya. Isn't our Torah better than their Torah? They only say in a posuk Chumash, look at what we're saying. She said, no. Because their breath is a breath that has no sin. These are children that have not been tamed tam chet. They haven't tasted the taste of sin yet. So their breath is pure. So this is Torah in its purity. While our Torah, no matter how great it might be, it is not Torah in such purity. The Omar is lokish mishum Rebbe Yehuda nesiyah. In Mevatlin Tinekish of Beis Rabban, Afila Labinyan Beis Amigdosh. You are not allowed, so important is the study of the Torah with the children, that you're not allowed to interrupt it, even for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. When the Mashiach will come, and he'll gather us all together to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, so the Malamdim will not be able to go. The Malamdim will not have permission to go and participate. Why? Because what they're doing is greater. Because what they are doing is greater than the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, Ein were not allowed to be mafsik, to interrupt the teaching of Torah, even for the to the tinaikas, to the children. See, this is only by the children. All the ones, they'll be able to go. But the children with their malamdim, they will not be allowed to participate because they, what they are doing is more important. Ein mevatlin tinaikas shel beis rabban afilu lebinyan beis hamikdash. This gives us a great insight and a great responsibility. When we're speaking of Tinaikei Shel Beis Rabban, we're speaking of intensive Torah. We're not speaking of Jewish schools. And in all due respect to what Jewish schools are doing or what they have done, but we're speaking of Tinaikei Shel Beis Rabban, where Torah was learned with great intensity. According to the Gemara, it was learned all day and even into the evening. Later generations, and the later generations in Europe, Jews then were forced to study many secular subjects by the governments that they were living in. Many times they had to study Russian, and they had to study Lithuanian, and they had to study Hungarian and Polish and so forth and so on. So they had to incorporate this many times right into the schedule of the Tinaikei Shel Beis Rabban. All right, but still, the Torah must be learned Sofer LeKeturah, where it's Torah with great intensity, like you feed an ox so the child would grow on it. Again, in accordance to all of the conditions which we spoke about. Now, this is the great mitzvah of V'limadetem Meisom Es Beneichem, that you shall teach your sons, and V'shinantum Levanecho, you shall teach your sons. V'shinantum Levanecho, the Gemara says that this means that they should become so, Shinun means so clear in the Gemara, so clear in the Chumash, and so clear in everything that they learn, that they must learn it over so many times, that with a clarity that if anyone will ask you anything, they'll be able to immediately answer. So these are these mitzvahs. Again, this is about the only mitzvah that we're obligated to teach our children. When it comes to teaching mitzvahs, this is not a mitzvah min haTorah. But when it comes to teaching them Torah, this is a mitzvah min haTorah, and not only a mitzvah min haTorah, but a pillar from all of our Torah and Yiddishkeit. This is a great responsibility. As we mentioned, that this is not only a responsibility on a father towards a son. Incidentally, this mitzvah is expanded because the Gemara says to teach any Talmud becomes a ben. Not only your son, but all people you must teach. But as we mentioned, this is also a communal responsibility to see that facilities of Torah education are available all of the time. Yitz Hashem, we should be zeche to see that the Tinaikei Shel Beis Rabbans, that these facilities grow, and that the Keser, the crown of Torah, should be returned to Klal Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.